Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to a show I call Personal Transformation. It's a show for survivors of sexual abuse, and tonight's topic will be about the inner child. First, I'd like to make a few announcements. Number one, I mentioned it last week, the Gatehouse has making a healing garden, and anybody who would like to contribute to that is more than quite welcome. You can get a hold of the Gatehouse. I'll give more instructions on how you can get out of the Gatehouse later after these announcements. And also, I would like to mention that the Gatehouse will be having a sale, and we're looking for donations again for that as well. And hopefully it'll be rather, we would like all donations before August 21st, and we would greatly appreciate it. And one more announcement I'd like to make. We're interested on your opinion on what would you think if we were to do peer-to-peer support over the phone. If you're in outlying areas and you have no way of coming to Toronto, this is a perfect opportunity for you to deal with this issue that you've had from the past, being child abuse. And we would like your opinion if that would work for you. Of course, when you call, it'll be explain a few more details best I can. One thing, it'll be in a group setting, so there might be five, eight, 10 callers on there. You don't have to use your name; it's totally anonymous. But the point being is that it's peer support over the phone versus having to drive down into the city, or if you don't have a way down here, it's perfect. And the Gatehouse can help you out in many, many ways. So, like I was saying, tonight's topic will be about the inner child. It's a very, very touchy subject for many, many people, and some people don't understand. But I will take you through it best I possibly can, and I will also share some experiences with myself where I've gone through it, and it's very, very self-empowering, and put me to a place I never thought possible, or even considered, in fact, over a period of time. So please keep in mind, this program is strictly peer to support. I'm not a doctor. I'm only going to make suggestions on what you could possibly do to change your outcome in your life. The bottom line is it's up to you to do it. And just remember that, like I stated, it's just peer support. And I'm actually very grateful to be here and grateful you're here as well. I'm also here to fight for our rights as well, or for your personal freedom, or my personal freedom, to get us out of that dark side of the past which we've lived in for so long. And finding another way of beating this, so it doesn't beat you or beat me. And myself as example, well, I found a way to beat it, and I'm here to tell you and show you, or not tell you, I'm here to show you a way. Primarily, it's your choice whether you would like to go through with this or not. Thanks to the Gatehouse for giving me this opportunity to do this from the Gatehouse. Fantastic place. It's a beautiful evening. It's probably around 20 degrees Celsius outside. The sun's out. Well, I shouldn't say the sun's completely out, a little bit overcast, but other than that, it's a beautiful evening here at the Gatehouse. And now the inner child. Now, we've covered a few things in the past few weeks, kind of building up to this. And now I'm really going to ask you to dig into your heart and soul to think about what we're going to talk about. Now, I'm just going to explain more about the mechanics of what's involved with the inner child, and as I stated, I'll give you some examples that I went through where it brought me back to where I thought possible. And the reason why I'm only going to give you the mechanics of it is because I really believe and that you should be around somebody that you feel comfortable with if you were to go into this as deeply as we possibly could, which I'm not going to go that deep, as I've stated. And for one thing, what's involved in this process, going into your inner child, a little bit of meditation is involved to bring you back there. And I'm not going to go into a meditation because, like I say, I'm at this end. If you decide you're going to go ahead and do it, well, like I said, you should have somebody around you when you do it, so that when you bring yourself back out of it, you're around somebody comfortable and console you if that's in fact that's what you need. But or just basically being around someone that's going to give you support is basically what I'm getting at. But for part of this healing process in regards to this, this is very, very important to help you on your way. What I mean by important, for example, all those feelings I've talked about in the past, such as anger and fear and anxiety, well, it's all kind of related to what I'm going to be talking about in some way or fashion. Like, for example, when I first dove into my inner child, I had no idea that I blocked out so many things. In other words, that when my abuse started, I pretty much shut myself down. Therefore, everything else shuts down, including a lot of my thoughts and emotions and anything that did surface at any particular time. As I've stated, even in the past, it's basically been my anger and certain levels of anxiety and fear, and a few other things on top of that. But nevertheless, those are the things that happened to me. Now, I'm going to give you a little example of what I did. Through one of the facilitators here at the house, I went into a meditation, and this is what happened to me. I went back, and I always remember the pain of what I went through in the past, but there were some things I basically put aside, and the things I'm talking about that I put aside, well, I've talked about my good childhood memories, the things that made me a child, I threw it aside. Because basically when my abuse started, it changed my life in a sense that, well, I instantly became grown up, if you want to put it in that manner, but that's basically what happened to me. When I said I was going to give you a small example, here it is. For example, now, when I went into my deep meditation, it brought me back to a time. I remember when my uncle used to bring me, I used to go up in the northern Quebec, in the Maniwaki area. I used to go up there with my uncle, and I would go fishing. And to me, those were my escaping points from my abuse, before and even after the fact. So basically, before my abuse started, I used to go up there, and to me, that was the best place to be as a kid. You know, you're up in the middle of the bush, and there's fishing, and there's hunting, and granted, some of the things I'm talking about may not be for everybody, and may disgust some people, because they're not into fishing or hunting, but nevertheless, that's what I did as a kid, and that's how I was brought up. But going back to that time, it was very, well, put it this way, it brought many tears to my eyes, but at the same time, it helped me remember that you know, it wasn't, I don't know how, I guess this is really hard to explain, but it was really hard in a demeaning way, meaning that, well, okay, this happened to me, so therefore I should shut down. But that's not really kind of what I'm getting at. I guess the point being is, what I'm trying to say is, my good memory before my abuse started, that's really what I'm trying to say, or what I'm trying to get at, was before my abuse started, when I went up fishing, to me, those were the best days of my life. Going out swimming in the lake, there's nobody there, you're in the middle of nowhere, it's fantastic, it was always fun. I remember going with my cousin, it was the best. I those memories were like yesterday, and, well, yesterday now, before, I never thought of those memories, especially when my abuse started. That's basically what I'm getting to now. So what happened to you? So those memories were fantastic. So when the facilitator brought me into this meditation, brought me back, it really was heart-wrenching to a certain degree. I mean, it was really, really hard, me thinking of those moments, because I did everything possible to shut them out, because after my abuse, I never thought I was deserving of it. Like other things I've stated, such as my birthdays and Christmas, I just never got into it. It was like all those things I shut out, like fishing, and that not much. Even baseball, I've even talked about that. I shut those things out. But my meditation that I went through was fantastic, and I didn't think that at the time that it happened, but now I do think about it, because Now, I look back and what it's done, it opened my eyes up to a whole lot of things, a whole lot of things that I've had buried. And I talked about my anger and my anxiety and my fear and that sort of thing. Well, it made me understand it a little bit better, and it helped me understand, well, why am I so angry? Well, it's obvious why I was angry, but deep down inside, I didn't really know why I was angry. I mean, my childhood was pretty much snipped away from me, and I just missed a lot of things, a ton of things. I'm just going to think about it. I mean, tons and tons of things. And I'm sure any survivor can really relate to what I'm talking about. And it's just amazing how much it shut me down. But the great thing about what I was getting at, where my facilitator brought me back to this point, was, yeah, it brought a lot of tears. It brought up all these feelings that I pushed aside. But the great thing about it was, after all that, and I grounded myself again, was that, wow, hey, I know a little bit more what's going on with me. So that, to me, at that particular point, was my starting point to really my starting point to my recovery, to the point where I haven't looked back since to where I am now. And I firmly believe that by doing that exercise, amongst all everything else, that was one of the most powerful points, or rather one of the most powerful exercises throughout the whole process that brought me to where I am now. And I would strongly encourage anybody who's going through this program at the Gatehouse to try to do that, to help them, to bring them back to where I'm talking about. Now, like I say, another point I should bring up too was that when I talk about the inner child, we offer this in the phase one program. And now I didn't really even do it. I know I could have did it in the phase one project, but I didn't do it. I didn't even do it until I went into phase two, and that's the second phase of the group therapy that's done here at the Gatehouse. And thank heavens to the facilitator that brought me through it, and they were great. They're great facilitators. The two of them that were doing that. But basically, I discovered it gave me a whole new level of feelings that I never knew, and I shut down. It's basically the bottom line. It's basically what it's done for me. Now, I've talked about the other feelings that I discovered that I had buried away. Well, the anger, it was pretty obvious because I've talked about how I displayed my anger after the fact, like in school and other ways as well. Now, I never even mentioned this. I talked about the anxiety, and I talked about fear. What about the shame and the guilt? Well, that kind of falls in there as well. So, within saying all that, it basically brought me to a whole new level of being, which I never realized. And like I say, it was a stepping stone for me to get started. And by knowing those, acknowledging those feelings that I had buried deep in myself, well, it gave me my building blocks to move forward. And if I may suggest to you out there as well, it can work for you as well if you choose to give it a try. So basically, as I've said, my experiences may not work for you as it did for me, but nevertheless, I would encourage you just to try it. So I'm sure that any one that has been through this will know what I'm talking about to some degree or another. And you can deeply appreciate where I'm coming from. Now, I'm going to, let me just see where I'm at here. And I think I'm going to start with a little bit of Let's find it here. Sorry. Here I am thinking. All together, and sometimes I'm not. Let me share this with you. So you can understand about your inner child a little bit more, in a more in-depth way. This is written by T. McKenna, and here I go. I'm going to read it to you. We all have an inner child. It is our true self, our authentic self. Many adults who suffer abuse or who come from a dysfunctional family hide behind the false self, also called the ego. We develop this false self to protect our true self from emotional pain. The false self stuffs with these painful feelings deep inside us, thinking that it is protecting us from from the moment we lost of our true self leaving us and feeling of chronic sad or depressed or an empty inside until we reclaim that lost child of our true self. Living in our true self requires us to feel our feelings, grief, or losses. Stop denying our pain and accept our vulnerability. Become aware of our defense mechanisms. Stop filling our emptiness with alcohol, drugs, compulsions, and turn away from codependency, focusing on others to determine of oneself. It's important to know that the inner child healing cannot be successful unless we first overcome our addictions. So that's very important. In order to move with this piece of crap that's stuck in your body, you need to get rid of those other things first, or at least have control of them so you can focus on the one thing. You can't focus on something as deep without having those other things taken care of. So in other words, you can't give 100% into something this deep if you've got those other things plaguing over top of you. We need to recover our inner child, feel those feelings of sadness, anger, rage, guilt, and shame. Without addressing and dealing with the painful feelings of our childhood, we must find it hard to move on with our lives. Our emotional development freezes when we have been severely traumatized. We repeat mistakes, we get stuck in our present state, which could include ongoing feelings of loneliness, depression, anxiety, emptiness, and bad decisions, bad relationships, codependency, addictions, compulsions, inappropriate behavior, suicidal thoughts, and gestures, etc. Therapists are usually a little baffled by presenting an atypical symptoms. Many individuals with distressed inner child have been diagnosed with psychiatric illnesses such as depression, attention deficit disorder, conduct disorder, anxiety disorders, discognitive disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, borderline personality disorder, bipolar disorder, and psychotics, etc. Well, those are pretty heavy terms to be labeled if in fact that's what we're going through. It's pretty pretty crazy that they're going to put that kind of label on you, because I know when they threw me away when I tried to commit suicide, they were only too happy to give me drugs and to give me the shock treatment to make me better. But little did they realize, okay, well, all those are clinical things and that's what they do. They didn't dig deep enough into my problem, what was the real issue. And that's really, really too bad. But unfortunately, that's just the way it is in the real world out there when you're dealing with that kind of thing, especially after doing what I've done to myself and getting myself committed in that matter. There could be accompanying physical symptoms that range from minor aches and pains to cancer. Repressed emotion and stored in the body can be manifested into as a serious illness. It's a fact that many people have inner child issues. However, the bearing pain we suffer may not be comparable. No matter the degree of the trauma we carry around, we still suffer. The only way we can feel these feelings that we were shut down and abandoned for so many years is recognizing and allowing those feelings to surface relieves us of this internal anguish. And then, believe me, that's internal anguish. All right. It also gives the inner child you a feeling of worthiness and recognition and paying attention to him or her. We also need to grieve the past incidents of the trauma and abuse. Some relief is instantaneous. Well, actually it is when it makes reference to that, because I know that when I did my meditation and I got back into when I dug deep into what I pushed aside, especially those great memories of being a child, and I talked to my inner child, it was like, wow, where the hell did that come from? Like I pushed it aside for so long. I pushed it, well, pretty much all my life to the point where I am now. And it brought me into a whole new realm I never thought possible, or a whole new reality, I guess is a good way to describe it, that I never thought possible. And I'm sitting here right now. If I hadn't gone through this, I sure as heck would not be sitting here right now. I'm sitting here at the Gatehouse at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West in Toronto. I'm looking outside the window, and it's a beautiful evening. And I got this big, beautiful maple tree. I swear this tree must be 100 years old. I mean, really, I would not be sitting here talking about this right now, even saying what I just said about this tree. It's a beautiful thing. Like, wow. There is life after this crap. There is. And I hope you can feel your way as I have. You may want to discuss this process of the inner child healing with a therapist or other mental health professional before attempting it. So basically, like I was saying when I got started to the point where I am now, you should be. That's why I will not go into a deep meditation for that specific reason. You should be around somebody safe to do this, so you have some kind of comfort when it's all said and done. You can heal anyone's inner child, nor anybody else can heal yours. That's what a codependent attempts. A codependent is a person who is focused on your needy person, alcohol, drug addict, abusers, etc., that they neglect their own needs. These are many false repeating beliefs that carry on from childhood that inhibit our emotional well-being. There are inaccurate thoughts and beliefs from others, such as parent or someone who we look up to. These beliefs also have been formed subconsciously if we were abused. Children automatically blame themselves for bad treatment they receive from their parents and others in position of power. What is left is a general attitude that we aren't worthy and we do not deserve to be successful, happy, loved, etc. So, like I've said, when I've talked about the non-deserving things of self-worth, and that describes about myself, I'm sure many of you can appreciate that in the same manner or in a different manner, but you know what I'm talking about. Healing takes place so the inner child feels safe and trusting enough to explore, express those feelings and how I felt when we're being criticized, neglected, shamed, abused, etc. It is the nature of him or her to feel scared, lonely, angry, and distrustful. Letting to know that he or she will be protected, but also allowed to be vulnerable, not hidden away. We protect our inner child by establishing a clear, safe boundaries and limits on how we will let ourselves be treated by others. And again, it falls back to what I was talking about, boundaries, about learning your boundaries. Well, if you understand where you're coming from deep inside, then it makes it easier for you to set your boundaries. And as I've said in the past, when you set your boundaries, you got to learn to do it in little baby steps and build your way up. Like saying no, it's a really hard thing to do. But that's where the boundaries come in. As children, we did not always know how to express our feelings, or we have been punished if we express them. Anger may have built up inside us. Anger not expressed appropriately may turn inward. One of the byproducts of abuse is rage. For our child, being a victim of abuse creates the feelings of shame, guilt, anger, and abandonment, etc. The message of the inner child received is, you're worthless, shameful, bad, not good enough. Reparenting ourselves can be difficult at first, but especially if we didn't have the proper role models. We must put the blame where it belongs. Denying or limiting your abuser's responsibility and the pain they have caused you will only sabotage and prolong your healing process. So basically, throwing blame, keep going back and throwing the blame on your abusers. When I talked about being stuck or holding on to the past, that's kind of like, that's what that's saying. So if you hold on to that, that's going to hold you back like there's no tomorrow. And trust me, I know what I'm talking about, being held back, because it held me back from longer than I even care to think about or even mention, but it was a long, long, long time. And lucky for me, and anybody who wants this kind of help, there is a path to move forward. It's not necessary to confront our abuser face-to-face. Writing a letter to them is safer and can be effective. Not only does it allow you to recognize your thoughts and feelings about what happened, it gives the reader the opportunity to read it again and again. Well, I've heard a couple of different things in how survivors have dealt with this. As in this instance, by writing a letter, I've heard people confront them. I've heard people when they've literally gone ahead and laid charges and then confronted them after. I mean, it really depends on the individual. And the bottom line is, so if you're going to do all that stuff, what are you really going to get out of this? What satisfaction are you going to get out of it? Like, when I think, I haven't confronted my abusers. I know one of my abusers is dead now, but the other ones, I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. And at this stage of where I'm at now, you know, to be honest with you, I really couldn't care less. Although I'm saying that now, that could change in the future. I have no idea. The bottom line is, I'm concentrating on myself, and that's what you should do for yourself as well. I shouldn't even say that word should, but that's what I recommend you do for yourself, is try to do as I've done and others have done, and find another way, not hold on to this dark past as we have. Is your opportunity to express your truth, your feelings, and how your life has been affected while avoiding direct confrontation. Don't expect any positive feedback from people who have hurt you. So there's an example like what I'm talking about. So if you confront your abuser, write them a letter or whatever, you have no idea what the outcome is going to be. I'm not, hey, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying not do it. You know, that's your choice in the end. Whatever you feel, whatever your gut feeling tells you you should do, you should do. And that'll be of your choice, nobody else's choice. It is only when we have completed our inner child work that forgiveness is a possible maybe. It's healthy and necessary to get angry and feel whatever emotions come up, to adopt an empathetic observer to the inner child's past and pains and traumas. So that's kind of what I've been talking about. You know, by going down to a part of your soul that you or your dark past, your soul that you put away for all these years, and you dig this crap up, and you realize what the hell is going on in yourself. Why are you? Like, why do I do the things I do? Like, there's many different variables in how you can approach it, but the way I'm telling you now is just one way of doing it. But when I did it, I dug up those feelings. I still say, wow. And I think about how it gave me a stepping stone to, you know, to find out who I truly am. You know, I can actually say I know who I am now, as before I didn't know who I was. I know that of course I'm Stuart, but who am I? I'm just a guy. I'm in my 50s now. You know, the only things I've gotten out of life are, I have a daughter and a granddaughter and the gatehouse. You know, and I can actually say I've got some good friends now, which I have never been able to do, because I've been able to build my trust up. And don't get me wrong, it's been a tough go even getting that far, and I still have trust issues. But my point being is, I didn't know or understand about all this stuff until I dug it up, and when I dug it up, I was able to work on it. So that's what I'm telling you. That there's a way. There's definitely a way. Okay, so it is very important to remember, identify, and to express those past, present feelings of sadness, anger, and rage, well, with a therapist or someone within peer-to-peer support, or a recovery group, or a friend, someone you trust. We must be able to trust that person We are willing to tell our story. They need to simply just listen and validate, not offer solutions or opinions. This is the listener's job. That is of validator. So basically, like at the gatehouse, like we offer peer-to-peer support. We're not here to say you should or you shouldn't. That's the last thing we want to do, because anybody who tells you you should or shouldn't doesn't know crap. Because I think about in the past when I have talked about this with people, and I've said I've talked about very little people, and when I have talked with people, people are very, very easy. People are very willing to tell you what you should or shouldn't do, but if they haven't lived the experience, then they don't know anything about what they're talking about. It's pretty simple in my opinion anyway. Now, the objectives of the inner child healing. The object is to uncover any dysfunctional self-defeating beliefs that we have about ourselves and replace them with more realistic, loving, supportive, and compassionate ones. To place this responsibility for our abuse and mistreatment squarely is on our abusers. Grieving the pain and loss and or the abuse of childhood, absence and early adulthood alone and in individual or in group therapy with trusted others. We also need to tap into that anger and rage. Paradoxically, expressing the anger and rage over time in a safe environment helps you release it, leaving you feeling more relaxed and at peace. But that's so important to be around somebody when you're talking about this, because if you're going to bring up something you haven't brought up in the past or something you basically put aside and forgot about, you have no idea how you're going to react. So that's why I say when you go through this process, you need to be around someone who's been through it and understands, or as I've made suggestions, whether it be a therapist or a really good friend who's empathetic and a really good listener. That is so, so important. Try to recapture that Lucia Caprione, oh, okay, never mind, sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, what we're talking about here now? Okay, there's a book out by Lucia Caprione's book, The Recovery of the Inner Child, describes that childlike feelings, sensitivity, wonderment, and aliveness. Basically, it is the recovery of our true self, shedding the phony mask we wear. So basically, what she's saying in all that jibber-jabber is that basically what we've done to ourselves is we've basically put a mask on ourselves by bearing it. And I guess that's just a good analogy of saying that you've basically hidden your pain, and this is my mask, and this is who I am now, losing who you are. To eventually feel like a child, but think like an adult. So this is by Miller, 1991. It's another book like I'm talking about. So basically, by going into your inner child, you're going to back into your inner child again. You're going to feel like a child again, and you're going to talk to that child and see what the hell is going on with you. What if I get buried? Where am I going with this? Or what am I going to do with this? Well, it's kind of like I've described. Go into that inner child. You're going to dig up these feelings I've talked about, and you're going to figure out why you got those feelings. So where's your anger directed at? What are your fears? What are your anxieties? Those are so important to know those things in order to move forward. It's crazy. Like, you need to know this stuff. It gives you a basis or a footing to move forward. Consider these paradoxically statements when dealing with the inner child and past trauma. For example, you must go back in order to move forward. So that's kind of like I'm talking about when you go into meditation, you move back, you talk to your child so you can move forward. You must grieve your past so that one day you will find future happiness. You must get angry and unforgiving in the short term to find forgiveness and peace in the long term. Healing of your inner child requires TNT, so basically time and tears. Take the time to recover is at your pace only. Your pace, I mean by that, your own time. No one's pushing you. No timeline. As I've done and as I've stated, it's taking me this long. Some people are a little quicker. Some people are a little slower. It all depends on your state of mind when you go into it. So basically, you gotta trust yourself. Only you know how long. Only you know how long, or rather, how fast you can go with this process. All the steps I'm talking about, you have to take your time. You just can't jump in and think it's gonna be all fine and dandy. Especially after you go through this process with the inner child, you're gonna go in. You're gonna figure this. You're gonna find this stuff out, and then you have this stepping stone to move forward. Well, here's an exercise you can do to yourself. Basically an introduction to your inner child. But that's why I say, like, by going into a meditation, you can dig back and you can find that stuff. I'm not going to do that meditation because I don't know what's going to happen at the other end. And I would want to know that anybody doing this was going to have somebody around them. So, basically, after doing that, after you've done the meditation, and you've figured out what was going on to you, that's when you can start learning to love yourself again. Basically, loving the wounded inner child within. Healing the self through the inner child work. It is thought having the courage and willingness to revisit your emotional dark night of soul that is our childhood, that we can start to understand on a gut level why we're lived our lives the way we have. So in other words, like a lot of stuff that I've talked about makes a lot of sense to me now. When I think about all the things that I've done, all the bad stuff I've done, it makes it so clear to me now why I reacted the way I have. It is when we start to understanding the cause and the effect of relationships between what happened to the child that we were and in the effect it had on the adult as we became, we can truly start to forgive ourselves. It is only when we start understanding on an emotional level, on a gut level, that we were powerless to do anything differently than we did that we can truly start to love ourselves again. Well, that's a really, really true statement. Because I spent so much time hating myself for who I was and for what I've done, like it didn't really get me anywhere. It didn't get me anywhere, period. And anybody else who I talked to who went through the same process did the exact same thing. Now, I spent so much time feeling guilt and shame and having no self-worth and no self-esteem. Like, no wonder I never moved forward. You know, it's just no wonder I never moved forward. I think about it now, about all the time that I lost because of that. It's like, well, I guess without being vulgar about it, like, wow, that's all I have to say about that. And, you know, and that's the stage I'm at now. I really don't spend a whole lot of time reflecting on that because right now I'm only trying to move forward. I am still trying to pick up pieces from my past, granted, and I'm sure you'll do the same thing going through the process. I've talked to others that have gone through the same process I have, and they're doing the same thing. But my key point being is that we're moving forward. Moving forward to a level which you never thought possible. Okay. Codependence, basically, dancing with our wounded soul. The hardest thing for any of us to do is to have compassion for ourselves. That's so true. As children, we felt responsible for the things that happened to us. We blamed ourselves for those things that could be done to us. There's nothing more powerful than this transformation process, being able to go back to that child who still exists within us and say, it wasn't your fault. That's a key point. Remember that. It wasn't your fault. And I had a very, very hard time with that. You know, even I think about it after I first came here, it took me a while to realize that, you know, sure, that was easy for someone else to tell you, well, it wasn't your fault. Well, after you've been trained in those thoughts and feelings for so long, you short-circuit your brain. And, well, I'm going to get into neuroplasticity. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more another time, but basically that's what I mean by short-circuiting your brain. But neuroplasticity is what I'm talking about. You short-circuit your brain, therefore You stay stuck there. You think about it. You think it's your fault all the time. You go over and over again. No matter what you think to yourself, you can't get out of that thought process. But remember, you didn't do anything wrong. You were just a little kid. That's a hard thing to friggin' that's a hard thing to grasp when you're an adult after living through the after becoming an adult. You know, it just is. As long as we were judging and shaming ourselves, we're giving power to disease. So basically, we're giving power to our abuser. You can call that a disease if you like, but that's basically my point. We're feeding the monster that is devouring us. It really devours us. I think how much it devoured me, and I've seen others, how it's devoured them, and how much you stay stuck in the past so bad. You can't move forward if you're like that. You just can't. You know, and there's nobody can tell you to get out of it. It's just not that simple. You know, it's just not that simple. You need to take responsibility without taking blame. You need to own and honor our feelings without being a victim to them. We need to rescue and nurture and love our inner child. And stop them from controlling our lives. Stop them from driving the bus. Children are not supposed to drive. They're not supposed to be controlled. Anyway, when the abuse happens to you, basically that's when you lost control of yourself and basically lost your childhood. And basically, when they make reference to who's driving the bus, well, basically, after that happened, we're basically stuck driving the bus yourself because the people who we trusted or thought we trusted, I wouldn't want them driving the bus for me anymore, that's for sure. So I'm going to talk about some inner child healing techniques. When we are reacting out old taps-based attitudes and beliefs that are false or distorted, then our feelings cannot be trusted. When we are reacting out of our childhood emotional wounds, and we are feeling that we are feeling may have little to do with the situation in or with the people whom we are dealing with at them in the moment. In order to start being in the moment in a healthy, age-appropriate way, it is necessary to heal our inner child. The inner child we need to heal, actually, our inner child who has been running our lives because we have been unconsciously reacting to life out of emotional wounds and attitudes, old tapes of our childhoods. So, as I've been saying all along, when our childhood was basically snipped away from us, that's what we do. Like when we get ourselves into whatever version we get ourselves into, it's just our childhood is misbehaving for what it's doing. So you gotta start paying attention to your inner child. It will no longer work to deny that our child wounds have affected our lives. Our emotional wounds have dictating our lives and keeping us from loving ourselves. That's true. Like I'm talking about, where it's basically taking our innocence away and may turn us into instant wannabe grown-ups that don't know shit about life and give us this instant attitude. That's basically what happens to ourselves. Because of our broken hearts and